Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I break down the game film to episode of Leave It to Beaver. Well, you got to stay with me on this stuff. Getting some more backup beeper talk. Talk a little about BLM and Garcetti and how I agree with these guys. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed, Mister. Working from home, staring at the computer, seeing all the gray in your hair on the Zoom calls. Think about coloring it? Well, you're not alone. Madison Reed Mister Gray Blending Natural Color. It looks natural. You don't have that shoe polish look. It comes in a very nice little kit. They make great products for women, and now they're making great products for men. You go online, you match up your color, you get the kit that matches your natural hair color, shows up, put on the gloves, a nice little discreet kit, it's quick, it's easy. You apply the color gel and then the activator. You wait 10 minutes and you rinse it off, and it works for your hair, works for your beard. You have a much more natural look with Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from The Doors, John Densmore. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jake Paul drops by to recap Saturday's fight now. Since his bedroom growing up was a service porch, he's done plenty of safe outdoor dining. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Have to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Man, did you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing with a friend. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian?
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
I know it's a different Paul, but it's just so
brother.
It's just so delightful.
I woke up this morning, and I turned on the TV set, and I had an episode of Leave It to Beaver on.
Ooh.
And
are we pivoting away from Love Boat?
Well,
it's much more wholesome than Love Boat.
The reason Leave It to Beaver was on is because the last thing I watched last night was Love Boat, and it's on the same network. So, and I normally don't go into the 50s, 60s stuff. I'm much more interested in the 70s, 80s stuff. And like I said, you know, watch TV commercials from the period. Watch TV shows from the period, and it'll kind of let you know where we're at.
Like, so what did Lumpy and the Beeve do this time?
I was watching Bewitched the other day, and it's the relationships between men and women. It'd be like Darren would come downstairs and say to Samantha, like, what's going on? Where's my breakfast? And then she'd go, oh, sorry, dear. And he'd go, I'm running late for work. And she'd go, I'm sorry. And she'd like scurry into the kitchen.
She had messed up.
Right. Now what Darren didn't know is she was just talking to Dr. Bombay and trying to fix some mess that Endora cooked up. But
I'm sorry, real quick before you move on, we know that would be the Bewitch situation. This was my breakfast this morning in bed.
Let's see. Sunny side up eggs, bacon, looks like some hot sauce.
Two kinds of hot sauce.
Two kinds of hot sauce and a note that says you are lovely.
Wait, is it your birthday?
No.
Oh, what the fuck?
Is it Valentine's Day already?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I don't abide.
Do some digging.
You can't do the just because shit. And the reason you can't do the just because shit is because then when the necessary shit comes up, like birthdays and anniversaries or a parent dying, now you've broken even. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's just called a fucking Monday. You can never, hey guys, the just because, knock it off. Nobody needs that. You wait for Christmas, birthdays, holidays, and tragedies, you know, stillborn, things like that.
Stick to the main food
groups. Stick to the big food groups. So
maybe an unfertilized egg is not the best for stillborn.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. Yeah. You go scrambled or basted.
Oh, so, that's worse.
You're right. So I get up this morning and Leave It to Beaver's on. And the big dilemma, also you just see how they interact. You know what I mean? Like the dads are just wearing cardigans and ties and slacks, like just around.
It's leisure time.
Yeah,
yeah, they're relaxed.
Leisure time, they get to put the cardigan on. They don't take the tie off. And then a lot of guys reading the newspaper. The dads read the newspaper. The dads just sat in the living room. And there's no radio on. There's no TV on. They just read the newspaper. And they'd all sit around the table and, you know, breakfast. And like, dad's wearing a tie, you know. And then, you know, the kids are saying things like, may I be excused, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And the parents are just giving advice. And the kids are listening. And the parents are going, no, you can't do that. So Wally, the older brother, Wally's the older brother. Wally's probably 15 or 16. Wally gets, he's going to the prom or the sock hop or whatever, and he's got his date. And then this dilemma comes up, which is, who'd you say? Cubby, Chubby?
Lumpy.
Lumpy.
His real name's Clarence, but they call him Lumpy.
Lumpy was going to take everybody over, like all the couples in his car. And there's like eight people in the car. So the Beavs.
Oh, sorry, you're probably thinking about Eddie Haskell.
No, Haskell wasn't. This was Lumpy, I think.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Lumpy was going to take him over to the sock hop in the car, but the Beavs' parents didn't like the way it sounded. That there's going to be eight kids in this car. It sounded dangerous to them.
Progressive,
right? So the Beavs' parents said, "Look, Wally." The dad said, "Ward," said, "I will drive you to the sock hop." And Wally said, I can't be seen pulling up with my dad dropping us off. Like, how would that look?
Yeah,
so he was in a real dilemma. How was he going to get there? His date, I'm sure, was all excited about going out with the kids. And now Wally was going to have to explain to her why he couldn't do it. And again, the parents, he didn't want her parents dropping him off or whatever, his parents dropping him off. So he went to her home to explain to her a couple days before the dance that this just wasn't going to work. And of course, she'd already purchased a matching set of a purse or a little handbag, matching gloves.
Oh,
and matching shoes.
This was a special occasion.
A bygone accessory.
Yes. And so she's already ready to go. And she said, I got a fix. I can fix this problem. And Wally said, oh, good. And he was relieved. And he went home. Well, he didn't know what the fix was. The fix was she was going to drive them to the prom, to the sock hop. And of course, this was unacceptable because you couldn't pull up with the woman driving. And this was a big deal to Wally. And so what happened is Wally didn't know how they were getting there. He just knew that she had fixed the problem. But when she pulled up to the house or when the car pulled up, the Beav was looking out the window and he said, Wally, guess who just got out of the driver's seat? Your date. And Wally was like, oh, my God, I'm not coming downstairs.
Oh, no, the night's ruined.
I can't do this. And I pulled the clip and I'll play the clip. Ward went up to talk to Wally. He didn't know what was going on. What's taking so long? Your date is downstairs. She's waiting for you. Why aren't you coming downstairs? He said he was sick. So here it is. I'll play the clip.
What happened, Wally? Why do you feel sick?
All over, I guess.
We're all out of supper tonight. When did it hit you?
When Evelyn drove up in her car.
Wally,
Is that all?
Is that all? Holy mackerel, Dad. How can you stand there and say, is that all? Can you picture a girl driving me up in front of the country club with all the guys standing there laughing and sneering? Golly, Dad, I'd rather walk into the ballroom in my underwear.
I really don't think it's that much of a social disaster.
Oh, gee, Dad, I didn't think it was that long since you were a kid. I'd rather croak.
All right. We'd rather croak than pull
get
up
a free ride
with his date driving.
Must have been made sense back then. The audience laughed after every line.
Oh, yeah. They ate it up. They totally related. Well, again, when you make a sitcom, you have to be making it for the exact month we're living in. You know right. what I mean? Like, yep. whatever it is yep. you're talking about, I'm sure we'll go back and look at stuff, and it'll have Black Lives Matters and all that kind of all the different stuff in it. And we'll go, that's exactly what was going on. They'll be talking about coronavirus and Black yep. Lives Matter. It'll be dead nuts on right where we're at. And it has to make sense. No one, mm-hmm. you can't sit home and watch and go, what? I don't identify with this, or what does this mean, or this, where did they dig up this trope? It means nothing. So,
yeah, Leave It to Beaver never got accused of being too hip for the room. So it must have been something everybody understood.
1957 to 1963. So in that period, this was from 1961. In 1961, it was considered weird and embarrassing for the woman to drive the car, and that he would be ridiculed by all the fellas if she was driving,
and he'd rather croak.
They also, I mean, obviously there's a couple of quick fixes if you really need to, which is just drive down to the sportsman's lodge and then half a block out, just swap seats. You know, he'll pull it in.
He'll bring it home.
Yeah, he'll bring it home. And also, it's always weird that all the guys are just standing out front the entire time. Like, show up 20 minutes late. Let him get in there and have a little punch.
Show up during the second song.
Yeah, right. But either way, I thought, wow, look at us.
Wait.
Yes,
did he get in the car?
Yeah, he ended up getting in the car. He ended up, I don't know, somehow learning his lesson.
Good.
And all was forgiven. And then there was a very controversial date rape scene that took place in the locker room. Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
No, especially for the times. Yeah.
Crazy.
So I just thought it, all you have to do. I wasn't looking for anything. I just turned the TV on, and there it was. Like,
it comes to you.
It just comes right to you. You have to watch any of those shows, and all they do is explain where we were, when we were. Yes,
yep.
Gina.
I was watching an episode of 30 Rock the other night, and we just binged because it's just such a great show.
30 Rock, about 30 years too late.
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, you think it's a modern show. It feels like it just went off the air. It's all of the people who are still relevant now. You know, what could possibly be weird or cringy about 30 Rock? It's the best. And there were a couple of jokes that I was like, oh, there is literally no way in November of 2020 you would have made that joke. Like the one that stuck out to me, and I should have pulled the clip, but I didn't know we were going to talk about it. When Matt Damon plays Carol, the airline pilot, mm-hmm. and you know he's like, okay, I got to go from Ohio to Miami to Jersey City to Atlantic City, back to Jersey City, and then I'll be there. And she says, who flies from Jersey City to Atlantic City? And he goes, black bachelorette parties.
Right. Yeah,
and just stuff like that you just wouldn't say.
That's funny.
A note for Brian that I heard apropos of nothing, which was the top grossing movie of this last weekend. The top grossing, I don't mean pay-per-view. I just mean in theaters,
wherever
there are theaters.
Tell me, I can't even guess. Freaky?
No theater Mm-mm. here. Oh, God. The animated, the glue.
The Croods.
Animated film.
People got to get the kids out, sure.
Yeah, and I wasn't even really thinking about the film. I was just thinking about the top grossing film of the holiday weekend, which is, you know, normally blockbuster stuff.
Oh, my God. It was dominated by Harry Potter and Toy Story for years, you know.
They really cleared the field this year.
$14 million. That is the top grocer.
Where we are.
That's
where
we are.
It's going to be weird to look back at the year. You know, I'm sure Tenet's probably going to be the number one film, but it's going to be like $150 million, which is, there's billion-dollar movies these days, the Avengers and whatever.
Yeah, and God, out here in California, God knows when the theaters are going to open because we're busy going the other direction. So
yeah, I don't... good luck. I just got a breaking news thing right now that says Governor Newsom considers reinstating stay-at-home order, like stay-at-home order, like we did back last season.
All right. Well, nobody should do that, and maybe this will be the beginning of a little civil disobedience. Also, I woke up this morning not because I wanted to wake up. I had a longish night. Phil fucking yacked last night in the middle of the night, and
some socks.
He got that fucking dog. I figured out that he can get shit off the countertop. The countertop is 36 inches tall, and if you leave something on the countertop, he's getting to it. But I didn't know he had the range to get the shit off of the bar top, which is another 6 or 8 inches up. That's the high one. Oh, yeah. He got the stuff.
He plays above the counter.
That's right. He does play above the counter. He got a whole bag of... pita chips and bread and whatever else and devoured it. Oh. And that wasn't the problem. The problem is he always eats half of the sack that the shit is in as well.
He has a goat stomach.
So he brought
a fair amount of plastic circulating.
Yeah, that's right.
System.
Yeah. He's like that big island in the ocean size of Texas. So he yacked up like, you know, part of a bag and a flip flop and I was dealing with that, and then I went back to bed, and I was like tossing and turning. And at 7:45 this morning, I got the fucking backup beeper, and the backup beeper. There's a bad backup beeper. There's the garbage man backup beeper, which is all right. The truck pulls up, and then the truck backs up, and then the truck turns out of the driveway or whatever it is. And it's neat, but it's kind of temporary. But there's a new backup beeper, which is they were doing some building, not next door, not on my street, just sort of like across the valley, just like literally a quarter mile away. But you could just hear it clear as a bell ringing through the valley, which is the guys that are driving the excavators and the Bobcats, they're doing this move where they go forward, drop a scoop, then back up 20 feet, then go forward again and drop. So it's just silent for 20 seconds, and then it's neat, 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 because they just keep shifting it in reverse. All they're doing is going back and forth and back and forth. And I know the answer. I know they have stuff in Europe that's like, I don't know, ultrasound or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect everybody. This shit, I'll play it. I got the dual glaze windows in the house. Like, I had the dual glaze windows. I had my earplugs in, and I had the fucking ceiling fan going, and it was still deafening. But I'll play the outside of the house first, I think. This is me standing in my yard. I think we'll get more than one here. This is 350 yards away.
You're a patient man.
Let's see if it keeps going or not. I just randomly held my phone up in my backyard. Now we have the dueling. Now it's dueling. Okay. I'm in my bathrobe. I'm 400 yards away. I then went in the house and actually closed the door and thought, well, what does this sound like inside of the house?
There's
same.
If anything, it's clear.
Yeah.
The white noise is cut down.
There's the wind.
Yeah, the argon gas in between the panes of glass somehow have amplified it. But I say to myself all the time, all right, you're fucking with everybody within a quarter mile radius of this thing, and there's nobody getting out of the way. Why does this need to be heard from such a great distance? Couldn't we just bring it in a couple decibels? And this shit used to just be on like municipal vehicles. Now it is on every single piece of equipment and like half the Ford F-150 pickup trucks. Like when are we going to deal with this scourge? I've said it out loud a few times. How many of those beeps have you heard in your lifetime? And the answer is several hundred million. How many times have you gotten out of the way? Zero?
No need.
I'm at zero.
On a construction site.
Most usually blocks away.
Most of the stuff I hear, I'm in bed. I guess I could roll over, but I don't know if that there's much strategy to that. But Jesus Christ, like whatever it is they're doing in Europe or whatever it is they figured out, could we fucking implement it here? And I don't think we really get into noise pollution or sound pollution, but it's not a good one. It's a pollution. Okay, that thing that like we probably wouldn't tolerate it if someone was smoking nearby, but that will just go throughout the neighborhood. Like obviously I'm not the only one hearing it. They start at 7:30 in the fucking morning, and I know everyone would get sued, but there's got to be a way to switch that fucking shit off. Somebody's got to put a kill switch on it. And how about the poor guy driving the Bobcat? That guy's just going back and meep.
You think the M is totally numb and don't even notice it?
Yes, they're totally numb and don't even notice it. And I think it's also ironically, it knocked off. They were completely done by 9:30 in the morning. Like they save all the fucking super loud shit for the beginning. I couldn't drive one of those things because I would be going insane. I'd be like, everyone around me can hear this. Every time I shift it in reverse, I'd put it in neutral and have the crew push me backwards.
The scary trend is it's going to get worse. My brother drives a UPS truck and he just got a brand new truck for his route and he puts it in park and it beeps.
It beeps in park. Yep. And
he's numb to it now.
To alert people that he's not moving?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, and again, my thing is people need to hear this, I suppose, that are within a 50-foot radius, let's say, of the piece of equipment. But why a nautical mile? Well, why does it have to carry that far into the air?
I have a possible, I wouldn't call it a solution, but it would definitely be a lot better. Instead of the constant beep, couldn't they just give the driver a megaphone and one time before he reverses, he goes, back!
Yes.
And that's it.
It'd be nice, but it'll never.
Well, like you said, Adam, I don't think radius even is important because you're only going one direction. It's not omnidirectional.
Right.
Yes, it's
you're
true.
Only going in one direction.
That's a good point.
It's just the people that are literally 5 feet behind the thing who need to hear it. All right. Hey, here's a news flash. I'm now down with Black Lives Matter. And the reason I'm down with Black Lives Matter is because they've been protesting in front of Garcetti, our mayor's house, 6 days in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
They're out. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's right. They're down at Garcetti's place. And their list of demands, a couple of the things they're protesting about is traffic.
So, ooh.
Yeah. And the homeless situation too. So they've diversified their portfolio.
They diversified the message.
Right.
Yeah, because once word got out that he might be in Biden's cabinet, they are doing everything they can to not make that happen and not get him on a national level.
No!
What the fuck kind of strategy is that? Don't they listen to the show? What about my Rachel Perry strategy where she was going to leave the morning show for 2 weeks and then never come back? Like, why? What do they want him doing? Hanging out here, fucking up homelessness and the traffic more?
Yeah, I know. It's very short-sighted.
It is kind of a weird thing. Like, we could get a mayor who wanted to get rid of homelessness and work on traffic, and then we could alleviate both those problems. Yeah, they're going
to a great show. A lot of fun.
That's Jimmy Brusca, everybody. Former producer for the Adam Carolla Morning Show. Yeah, so that's what they're protesting. Amongst other things, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they just think of him as the quote the worst mayor in the nation, racking up a dismal record of handling Los Angeles's housing catastrophe, providing for the city's growing unhoused population, and following through on transportation projects.
Unhoused population.
Yeah.
It's not homeless anymore.
That's right.
No. Urban campers.
You're
unhoused.
Or houseless. That's what they're saying.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Garcetti's even around, though, like when they surround his house. Do you think he's in there? And if he is, how's he fucking get out?
Comes down Jackie Lacey's husband style with a gun.
Yeah, Jackie Lacey's husband came out with a pistol, I think.
Yeah, and threatened people to get off their porch.
Waving it around.
Barbara Ferrer has a protest outside of her house.
Yep.
Yeah.
She does.
She's got, but she's got like the restaurateurs or something in front wanting her not to. She's the, look up, if you can look up her bona fides, if you look up her history, where she went to college and like what she majored in and shit, this is the last human being you'd want to be setting policy for Los Angeles. She has zero experience in any of the stuff she's dictating. This is not her field of expertise at all. It's really weird and bizarre that we have the health, I don't know what her exact title
health director,
is.
Health, LA County Health Director.
So the LA County Health Director is setting all these policies about restaurants not being able to conduct business outside and about what percentage of a business can be filled and, you know, what you can do on the beach versus the park versus your living room and what needs to be done for Thanksgiving and holidays and traffic. She's setting all these policies, and she has no background in these policies or in this. She has no field of expertise.
What I suspect is that many, many, many politicians, or at least people appointed to positions, don't have the qualifications. They just know somebody, or they're a friend, or they, you know, owe a favor or whatever, and the light never gets shined on it until something like COVID happens, an unforeseeable thing like COVID. Or remember that in Katrina and George W. Bush, like, Brownie, you're doing a hell of a job. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, he wasn't doing a hell of a job. He was just some crony friend who ended up in whatever position he was in, and the light got shined on him. It's just a roulette wheel. Once in a while, the light got shined.
Well, isn't that happening with Louis DeJoy and that, you know, the postal workers and all that, how he got appointed?
Sometimes the light will shine on you when you don't have the qualifications, and it's like, oh shit, well, election certifiers or whatever. You know, there's just in a cushy job.
Well, it turns out you shine the light on anybody, and you just find out they're doing a shitty job. Yeah, I agree. She has a PhD in social welfare and a master of arts. Yeah, find out the college. Oh, she went to Brandeis. Awesome. And she has a master in arts, public health from Massachusetts,
Boston,
and then she went to where else?
Master of Arts in Education from University of Massachusetts, and Bachelor of Arts in Community Studies from University of California, Santa Cruz.
Awesome, awesome, perfect. Just the person you'd want to handle the economy of Los Angeles. Blah. Jesus Christ! Let's get that witch the fuck out of there.
We got a real crackerjack team over here,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. Could we just get a fucking bunch of physicians and guys from, go find a bunch of physicians and epidemiologists and then pair them with business people and the guys at Bob Iger and stuff and just put together a fucking crack team and then start weighing the checks and the balances. All right, let me tell you about Axon Tasers. Yeah, 2020 feels a little unstable, a little dangerous. Yes. Do not fear. Get yourself a taser. Mm-hmm. Could be life-saving self-defense technology. Tasers, non-lethal self-protection devices are small enough to carry with you in your purse or your glove compartment, but powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Gina's got one of these bad boys.
It's a peace of mind thing because, yes, if I used it, it would probably incapacitate 14 attackers, but I don't know yet. But just the peace of mind and the confidence and the security I feel carrying it is a big deal.
And, get it for yourself, get it for your wife, get it for a loved one. It's the real deal. And you can protect yourself and your family with Taser smart self-defense products. Number one choice of law enforcement agencies, by the way. Am I right, Dawson?
Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code Adam. Save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code Adam, spelled T-A-S-E-R.com, promo code Adam. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Well, Jake Paul, fresh off of knocking out Nate Robinson in less than 2 minutes into the second round, is going to join us right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Jake Paul will pop on when Jake Paul pops on, and we'll do the news up until then and then beyond. Go ahead.
Well, from the Of Course It Is desk, we have a 2020 Merriam-Webster Dictionary Name of the Year. And what?
Name of the year?
Word of the year. Sorry.
I know they're doing names.
The reason why it's so funny is actually the last two of the top 11 words are the best. So we got to get into the story somehow. It is?
I heard this news story in between watching Leave It to Beaver. Which I call show prep. And I think I remember it was either Pandemic or Behymen. I'm trying to think. Pandemic.
You're right about one of them.
Pandemic was number one.
Yes.
I remember the Kraken, or Kraken was in there.
Yes, number five.
Was in there somewhere. And I can't remember the other ones.
Well, you're going to love 10 and 11. So, you know, all the names that kind of make sense for the year. We got coronavirus, quarantine, asymptomatic was a big one.
Oh,
defund.
We got defund the police. We got a Joe Biden one, which is.
Oh, yes. That's one of my. That's number 11, the one I was so excited about.
His is like. He calls.
No, don't say it.
Malarkey.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
yeah. There it is.
That was his whole guess.
Malarkey.
Yeah.
That was malarkey. Number 11, because people had to look it up. But number 10 is also sort of poetically perfect for 2020. The number 10 most looked up word of the year, Schadenfreude.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, and I think that has to do with people getting COVID.
Oh.
You know, I think that it makes perfect sense.
I would imagine it was around the time maybe Trump got coronavirus.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you be happy your neighbor got coronavirus?
Right. Or, you know, anyone.
Adam might be happy that his neighbor
any got public, any public person who gets it, that name came up as why is everyone talking about Schadenfreude? What exactly does that mean? So, yeah, at the top we have pandemic, coronavirus, and quarantine. At the bottom we have Schadenfreude and malarkey.
Has anyone famous died in a long time and has it been attributed to COVID?
Well, it did come out today, talk about point shitting, that the 95-year-old man who played Darth Vader did die of coronavirus.
Oh, did he? God, I hope.
Does that count?
I hope both my kids die at 95 from the coronavirus.
Amen.
That is my
wish for them.
Yeah.
Amen.
So,
Dark Lord of the Sith, and he succumbed to a fucking virus?
Nick Cordero is all I can think of.
Nick Cordero is probably the youngest, scariest example. But is there anybody else? Is there any celebrity or dignitary or public figure in like the last 4 months or under the age of 70?
That's a good caveat.
Who has died of this? And if the answer is no, then we shouldn't be all that freaked out, because we would know it. If somebody we knew of, somebody we'd heard of that was 47, died of coronavirus, they would be making a fucking huge deal about it. So if you, you know, there's kind of two ways you can look at things. You can crunch some numbers and get into some stats and turn on the TV and be alarmed by rising cases or hospital beds being taken or things of that nature. But I want to, if I'm not hearing about people dying, then this thing is under control from the from the perspective of the it's a killer. You know, when you looked at something like AIDS, you got AIDS, you died. That's right. That's simply how it was in the, yeah. the mid, later 80s, early 90s. You got AIDS. You had to get your affairs in order, like, immediately. When I start hearing about, like, well, the quarterbacks from the Denver Broncos got it, and the guys from the college team got it, and the other guys from the NFL got it, and the coach, I don't know, Nick Saban has right. it, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, okay, but what's happening? Then what? Now what? What's going
like
on?
Like you said on the show, we're getting better at treating it.
Yeah. Well,
not preventing it, but treating it.
We're getting pretty damn good because if Nick Saban died, we'd know all about it. And if one of the quarterbacks for Denver died, we'd know about it. And if the Clemson quarterback who had it 3 weeks ago was in trouble, we would know about it. So my thing is I think it is now something that you can get. I don't think it's going to kill you if you're not in this group. And so if you're not in that group, you got to get the fuck on with your life. Okay. Chris was pointing out that a week and a half ago, we all went to a Florida wedding, a maskless Florida wedding. So we should all have it. And so should everybody from that wedding. I don't, I either have had it 25 times or there's something wrong. I have literally tried everything I can do to get it. I'm like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer was, where he became morbidly obese. And at first he was reading ways he could get out of work, like workman's comp shit. Uh-huh. And he was trying to get himself injured at work, and he couldn't seem to pull it off. And I feel like
too incompetent.
Yeah, that's I feel like that. Maybe I'm too incompetent to be stricken with the coronavirus.
That's possible.
Gina has either late breaking news.
Oh, some sort of update. You know, perhaps her dad situation.
Or yeah. So Gina's muted herself. She's
to answer your question. The most recent famous person I can find, I'd forgot about this, was Tom Seaver. Of course, he was an advanced age, and that was, you know, I think early September, late August, something like that.
Oh, Hall of Fame pitcher, Cy Young Award winning. Yeah, I remember Tom.
I'd be surprised if he was 70 years old, though. I don't know.
Tom Seaver. Sorry, I'm looking. Oh, okay, looking at something else. Yeah, how old was Tom?
Chris can look that up. I'm just, I just saw him on a list.
I'm sorry, Gina. Go ahead with your news.
Very good. Thank you very much. Well, I hope you can't die from a twisted ankle, because then Joe Biden needs to be real careful. They said he twisted his ankle while playing with his dogs on Saturday, but now doctors say he suffered a hairline fracture in his foot, and because it's going to look very presidential, wear an orthopedic walking boot for several weeks.
Oh, it should have like a flag on or star spangled.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, this is kind of funny. Gary and Shannon on KFI said this, said, how many people believe he broke his foot roughhousing with his two giant German shepherds, or does he just break something trying to step out of the shower, and that's a horrible optics situation?
Oh, yeah, right. Can't have anything in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. Yeah. Have to come up with something. I believe it just because that's what they said, but it is true if you think about it. You have to think of something that says virility, but you can't have banging a cocktail waitress or fighting corn pop in an alley.
Right.
But I think playing with the dog feels pretty vital.
Should have gone with skiing. Ooh, rescuing a skier.
A skier. Yes.
That's real good. So he'll, you know, if we make it this far to, you know, the end of January, he'll hobble up there in his walking boot and take the oath.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how long you got to keep that thing. He's probably going to be done with that
right?
It's
over a month and a half.
They said several weeks when I had it, because remember, I fell down the stairs at Cantor's waiting for my matzo ball soup.
That's right.
I had
like
to have my
set up to a joke.
I know. It's the most Jewish thing I've ever said. And I had my foot propped up in the studio for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that could butt up against the, you know, the January 20th date.
Well, to be fair, a young Jewish girl not having the matzo ball soup, it had been almost 11 hours, I believe, since you'd had matzo ball soup.
That's right.
And so
I was
your
going
blood
through withdrawals.
Was getting,
I was getting the shakes.
Who's the young Jewish girl?
The shiksas.
I'm going to ask a question. It sounds
Brian, I'm Jewish.
I should have realized. I'm going to ask a question. It's going to sound insulting, but it's actually completely genuine. She had to take her headphones off. Who is the better athlete at this moment, Joe Biden or Gina Grad?
I can throw a spiral if I warm up for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
So Joe Biden. Well, I was intrigued by this $106 burger that AJ brought up on the show yesterday, the new Gordon Ramsay burger. And I said, if it's gold leaf, we don't want to hear about it. Or if it comes with a diamond ring, nobody cares.
Right.
So I did a little investigating and turns out it's probably legit. So he is opening a restaurant in London. And is opening a London location of his Las Vegas restaurant at in December. And everybody's talking about all the menu items that are pricey.
Are there truffles on top?
Well, of course, truffles are involved.
Yeah, you got it. So yeah, that jacks up the price.
This is going to be a Wagyu burger. Now, remember, I just had an almost $100 steak, or I was in the company of someone having a $100 steak. So now I can believe that this is possible with Wagyu. It's a Wagyu sirloin, truffle pecorino cheese, and fresh black truffles.
Of course.
It's $106. Fries are sold separately. And other
fries are sold separately.
It's like a fine dining restaurant.
Seaver died at 75 in August from complications of Lewy body dementia.
That's what Casey Kasem had.
And COVID. But I'm guessing if it was just the COVID, he'd probably still be out at Old Timers Day throwing those pitches. You know, the thing about a burger like that is I like where they're at with it. I'm wondering when a burger ceases to be a burger. You know, at some point when you heap on too much non-burger shit onto it, it becomes something else. And I'll bet you that most people who had that, what was it, $106 burger would rather have 39 In-N-Out burgers. And
I agree.
Spread out over the course of the next 2 years.
All at once?
Yeah.
And I think you might be right about that. Other items include a $56 lobster and shrimp burger. $33 burger, a Hell's Kitchen burger. It's mozzarella and jalapeno aioli. And you know what? Some people just want the basics. Keep it simple. An American cheeseburger with tomato, pickle, and onion. $28.
Where do you guys, I'll bet you would enjoy that more than the highfalutin burger. Do you guys come down on what's on the burger? Onions. We going raw? We going grilled?
I'll take either one. $51.49 for raw. I like the crunch.
I despise raw onions. I don't think they're food. Mushrooms and onions are not food until you cook them. Grilled and well done. I want them caramelized.
I like everything on the burger. I like the lettuce. I like a big slab of tomato. I like the raw onion for the most part. And
how about the pickle? Love the pickle.
Love the pickle. Love the mayo. Love it all.
You know what? As it pertains to this burger, I'll be honest, Adam, I know you like to marvel at my highfalutin taste sometimes. Don't care for truffles. Never have. No, I prefer, I will never ask for truffles or order anything with them proactively.
Well, good news, because no one volunteers truffles. You got to ask for it. So if you're not asking, you're not getting.
Who threw the truffles against the wall at the highfalutin dinner?
Cousin Sal, when we were trying to run up the bill, the guy was coming by and he was grating the truffle over everyone's pasta or whatever they were eating. And, you know, each swipe of the grate was like $23 or something. And at some, the truffle was the size of a baseball. And at some point, Sal said, like, well, how much for the actual truffle? Like, how much just to
just
leave it?
Just give me the truffle.
I want bottle service with that truffle. And the guy's like, I don't know, the truffle's like $1,200 or something. And then Sal grabbed it and threw it against the wall. That's
it's fungus.
Yep.
And it's $1,200.
The ugliest of all Americans, Cousin Sal.
I can't believe he does this sober because he doesn't drink.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's great.
That's insane.
And again, everyone else drinks, but the real downfall with Baby Doll is he ain't making it through a 2.5 hour dinner without going out for a smoke break a couple of times. And whenever he steps out for the smoke break, that's when the trouble really, that's when Sal starts sending bottles of champagne to other tables and t-shirts. Swag.
It's going to be a great year for Baby Doll. No dinner, right?
Yeah. He's saved himself thousands. thousands of dollars. All right, let me hit Lids here. Need the perfect gift this season? Lids has them. Officially licensed sports gear or iconic brands like Nike, Adidas, and Champion. Lids is North America's largest hat retailer. Visit any Lids store, and associate will help you find the perfect cap for yourself for the holiday, or you know, for a gift or a gift. Especially kids love this stuff. Lids is a leader in headwear, including all the authentic MLB on-field caps, NFL sideline caps, knits, plus a huge variety of fashion styles, colors, and Lids exclusives as well. You can visit blog.lids.com/Adam. Get 25% off your next in-store purchase. These guys deal with the high-end stuff. And get a good hat. Fits good, and you keep it for a while. Perfect gift is waiting. Visit Lids. Again, blog.lids.com/Adam for 25% off. Right, Dawson?
Visit blog.lids.com/Adam for your 25% off coupon next time for your next in-store purchase.
All right. So Jake Paul was running late.
Yeah, he had another interview before us, and that was going long, but he let us know he's going to be on any minute.
All right. Keep going, Gina Grand.
Well, there's always a way around something, and a tequila bar owner in England is he's right on top of that. So he's attempting to register his establishment as a religion in the hopes of meeting the regulations to keep his business operational during the pandemic. And
Mark,
I think
Garagos has dropped to his knees.
A lot of people are going to try something like this, I bet. Fox News reports that James Aspel, who owns the 400 Rabbits Bar, has admitted that his stunt is mostly aimed to raise awareness about the plight of England's bar industry, which I imagine would have been thriving. And it's in Nottingham. It's currently designated a tier 3 area, meaning it can only remain open for takeout and delivery. We're used to that. But Aspel told Fox News he takes issue with the rules, questioning why other establishments like the Big Christmas Market nearby are still allowed to operate, and they're all under the same tier. On his website, he says 400 Rabbits is also trying to grow a congregation, reportedly for the purposes of obtaining credibility as a recognized religion. The website, however, appears to make it clear that his efforts are largely ironic, despite the real concerns behind him. But if it goes through, it goes through. It's like the guy who always does the crazy vanity plate, you
right.
know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I heard some story about a crazy vanity plate, and one of them, I think it said queer on it, but it obviously, well, not obviously, but the guy wasn't talking about being gay. It was more about queer, weird, or part of his name or his business or something. But no mas. I don't know. The vanity plates. Do you guys feel like you see less and less vanity plates?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what, you know what I've noticed, and you guys may not have ever noticed this, or tell me if you do here on out, there is an inordinate amount of vanity plates on Teslas out here in California.
Interesting.
Teslas have...
Yes.
A lot have to do with, EV or, you know, no gas or something like that. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
Some are just vanity plates. But I'm telling you, there's a disproportionate amount on Teslas.
And less on Vegas?
Yeah.
I just picked a car, a bad car from the 70s. Yeah, well, it's
this is your average car.
No, it's interesting. So you see pickup trucks, and pickup trucks don't have a lot of vanity plates because those are just poor Mexicans going to mow lawns and go to work. Like, they don't have, there's no virtue signaling going on. If you think about the group that is sort of signaling the most, then maybe the Tesla group are the signalers of our society right now. And if you're going to signal, then continue the theme with the vanity plate. Especially when you're getting into zero gas or zero greenhouse or like whatever, whatever that thing is. I had, obviously I come from a super loser family. And I had a friend when I was growing up, and his name was Jeff Buck. And he came from a winner family. Like, people say, have you ever been skiing, or when was the first time you went skiing? It was like, yes, I went with Jeff Buck's family. And there's like, have you ever been water skiing? Yes, I went with Jeff Buck's family. Like, I latched on to the families that had shit going on, and I would go eat over there and go hang out and blah, blah, blah. And his family, I think the Corollas could live 7,000 years and drive 7 million miles, and there'd never be a vanity plate between us. But his family, the dad had $1 the mom had $2
Oh,
the,
boy.
The sister had $3 But I just go in there and just stare at those plates. And oh, the whole, everyone was represented in the family. And I was like, oh, goddamn, winners. Goddamn it.
Christy's dad and her brother have the matching last name plates.
Well, what are they? Oh, it, they have the matching. Wait, her dad and the brother. Okay.
Yeah, the last name is Clough, and it's Clough 1 and Clough 2.
Oh, my God.
I'm angry, I'm but I'm jealous. Is it now that people just don't want to fucking deal with the DMV in California? Like, everything is such a hassle. I mean, is it that, or what's
a sign of the times that, like, you know, we don't want to, if you're wealthy, you're not going to show that off these days. You're not going to be kind of in the look at me vibe.
But Clough 1's still on the road.
The it's not really a wealthy thing. Like, the people had them.
It feels like it.
It does feel like that. I don't think it's necessarily.
It's literally $80 or something like that. Oof, like, I don't think it's expensive. For the price of one hamburger in New York City, you could get a. But I maybe with all the social media now and all the other ways we have to sort of spread our word out there, that itch is scratched.
Oh,
like, no, that's a good point.
We don't, like, there used to be the way you'd have to let the world know what you were thinking back in the day. Like, hey, I need strangers to know what I'm thinking. Well,
what I'm all about.
Bumper sticker, license plate frame, like vanity plate. Like, how else would I share with the world what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
And that's really kind of what social media is I need the world to know what I'm thinking. And now that, you know, you put on the vanity plate, you reach whoever's behind you at the stoplight. But if you do the tweets, then I'm going to reach hundreds or thousands of people. So maybe it's not effective anymore. Maybe the part of the brain that wants to shout out to people is been satiated by all the social media.
That's a very good point.
It does feel like from older generation, yeah.
Also, the DMV is such a fucking shit show. I told you when I went there about a year ago to renew my license. I don't really travel anywhere with cash or checkbook anywhere. When's the last time you left the house with your checkbook?
Unless I knew I had to. There's no reason to.
Rolled into that DMV and I, like, pulled out my credit card and they're like, well, we don't do credit cards. I know
we're
you guys
not there
have heard
yet.
But the thing that made me laugh is they said they had a pilot program to start looking into accepting credit cards. I feel like the guy out front of the fucking Staples Center selling the hot dog wrapped in
with
bacon.
The square.
Well, it has a fucking square on his phone that'll take the fucking credit card. Jesus, goddamn Christ.
Hey, before we wrap this up, what's Jeff Buck up to these days? I got to know. Is he still leading the life of a winner?
I don't know. Look up Jeff Buck. I think he was part owner and like a AAA hockey team or something.
That's fucking sweet.
I think that was my last correspondence with him. But you can look up that name. I think his dad. Oh, you know, his dad played for the last championship team that Cal basketball team that Cal Berkeley had.
Oh, wow.
That's a winner.
That's cool.
Looked like Patrick Duffy. My dad looked like Angel from Rockford Files.
Everything is coming up, Buck.
I know. And I think that was his last correspondence. But I don't know if you can look up Jeff Buck and see if he's up. The internet is simultaneously incredible and disappointing.
Well, you know, it's going to be hard with a common name like Jeff Buck.
I don't know.
Well, that's serious. That's kind of a common name.
Well, Jeff is. I don't know that many. Well, there's Joe Buck, I guess. That's same initials.
Yeah, a lot of Jeff Buckley that keeps popping
but
out.
Not a lot of, oh, I see.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I get it. All right, let me hit Geico here. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. How about you listen to Geico? They'll make it easy to bundle those policies. You go to geico.com. You bundle your homeowners, your renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. And there you go. Bob's your uncle. Go to geico.com. Get a quote today. See just how much you could save at Geico when you bundle at geico.com. All right, I should tell you that COVID has postponed my Burbank Pickwick show, and they moved it back to January 23rd. So
your outdoor show.
My outdoor show.
The parking lot show.
So right. We got that to look forward to.
I think it's because you said something.
Yeah, you spoke it into existence.
Jake Paul has not joined us yet, but John Densmore, The Doors, is waiting to come on at about 5 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, about 10, 15. I pushed him back just a touch just for Jake.
All right. Well, I'm not. Well, anyway, Gina, keep
sure.
going, but doesn't.
I got a million.
All right, go ahead.
So a 60, and I hope, I thought maybe this is on Adam's list, like getting kicked out of a casino for counting cards, but I sure hope it's not. A 62-year-old man was discovered desperately clinging to the hull of his capsized boat in the waters off Florida on Sunday, about 24 hours after he was reported lost at sea. And we have pictures. The crew on board the container ship called Angelus, there he is. It looks like a still from a movie.
It's like Harrison Ford.
Spotted it with a little Joaquin Phoenix in there.
Mm-hmm.
Spotted this guy, Stuart B., around 11 a.m., about 86 miles off of Cape Canaveral, holding on to his 32-foot capsized vessel. Fox News reports that the Coast Guard had been searching for signs of the boater since he was reported missing Saturday.
Oh, shit. It's like underwater, save for the hull.
The keel.
Yeah, it's like
Titanic. Everything's under but the keel.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Condition isn't immediately known, but
sometimes
he's a hardy dude.
If I made boats, and I'd probably be shouted down by this at the boat factory, but I'd be like, I've seen enough movies. We got to put some handles on the bottom of this boat.
Oh, smart.
And everyone go, but aren't you just asking for it to capsize? And I'd go, mm-hmm. I don't know. But every single movie I've seen where there's a sailboat and it hits rough seas, at some point it capsizes and the people are clinging to the super smooth fiberglass hull of the boat. And you know how much energy it takes to take your fully dressed, bearded, wet ass and crawl up the side of a super slick? I mean, that thing's like climbing a greased flagpole. Put a couple of handholds in there.
Yeah.
All right.
A couple of pegs to stand on.
Yeah, we may lose a couple of knots, you know, but it ain't the fucking America's Cup. Put a couple of those, you know, go online. And, you know, those hand grabs for the fake rock climbing walls?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Toss a couple on the hull.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're fiberglass. They don't weigh much.
Yeah, it'll be like those airplanes when they advertise the private airplane that has the parachute on it.
Right.
I do the same thing with this. Hey, hand grabs. Hey, lot of you call yourself sailors, but are you really? Number one. Number two, a lot of you like to drink. A lot of you, you know, not so happy with the radio and the last communications and all that kind of stuff. When this bad boy flips on you, you'll be able to hang out on topside.
Yeah. It'd be the best day of your life.
Hmm. Maybe we'll put a cooler on there as well.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt.
Put a little jerky in there and some suds.
It activates when it flips over.
We should put a radio on there. Let's put some sleeping quarters on the bottom of the boat. Yeah, let's really. I don't say we need a wet bar, but obviously you're going to be parched.
Right.
All right. Sorry, Gina.
You guys ever see that Robert Redford movie, All Is Lost?
Yes.
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, love that. One of the few movies that made me weep openly.
Yeah, he was just alone out at sea. And
he's the only one in the movie.
Over.
He's the only one credited.
Right. And if he would have had handles on that hull, the movie would have been 11 minutes long.
Easy life would be.
So, you know, there's always somebody trying to, some tourism board saying, hey, now's a perfect time to come here since our economy is crashing because there's no tourists. Well, now it's Hawaii's turn. And they even have a slogan and everything. So now that people are doing the work from home thing, they're saying, why not work from Hawaii? They are reeling from having essentially no tourists right now. So they don't want tourists. They want people who will stick around and do the work from home thing, but in Hawaii. So they started the Movers and Shakas campaign. And the Shaka, you know, that hang loose gesture. It launches Sunday as a campaign to attract former residents and those from elsewhere to set up their remote office. They're touting Hawaii's safety attributes, which are among the lowest rates per capita of COVID in the country. And the first 50 applicants approved starting Sunday receive a free round trip ticket to Honolulu. Applicants pledge to respect Hawaii's culture and natural resources, and you must commit to several hours a week helping a local nonprofit.
Well, let me say this. This pandemic should be a wake-up call to all the nations and all the states and all the islands who rely solely on tourism. Relying on tourism as a nation or as an island or whatever it is, it's kind of like being a hot blonde in high school. Like, you're just kind of getting by because everyone wants to fuck you. You know what I mean? When you're in, one of the Dakotas or Idaho, you got to fucking put out. Like, you better be manufacturing mini refrigerators like there's no tomorrow. You know, you need some fucking industry, you know?
Show some appreciation.
And this Hawaii's hanging back because they're like our crystal blue waters and natural waterfalls. And like, we don't have to do shit. Everyone wants to hang out here. Everyone wants to fuck the hot blonde. But maybe whoever you are, whatever country and whatever state, maybe this is your wake-up call to fucking get up before noon and start manufacturing something. Because this shit's going to happen periodically, and you're just hanging back, relying on this. You don't hear this problem with places that aren't relying on the tourism.
Let California be a lesson to the rest of the world. We were that hot blonde. Now, between droughts and shootings and traffic and COVID numbers, nobody's coming here. Disneyland's closed.
Right.
Why?
That's right. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, so we're going to bump Jake Paul because he was running late. We'll just put him, slot him in somewhere else maybe tomorrow. But legendary Doors drummer John Densmore is coming up right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.